that's right. It's 4:07 in the afternoon. I've got an all-points bulletin out for Kerry Bolt. I understand he's bolting our way as he comes from the Veterans Center this afternoon. So how you doing? Hey, I'm Ann Eller. Is it gorgeous out there today, or is it gorgeous? Let's go ahead and do a quick check of the weather and just see how gorgeous it is out there. Just had Gracie outside. She was glad to get out there for a few minutes. I'd love to be able to spend some more time out there with us, but you know, the radio calls. But Kerry Bolt is going to be our guest this afternoon, so looking forward to talking to him. And of course, we are looking for, what was it, supposed to be a high of 67 this morning, today, and let's see what we are at right now. Made it over the 67. Right now, we're at 69 degrees and sunny skies out there. What are we looking for the rest of today? Looks like this evening there'll be a low of 37. So, beautiful weather. You better get out there and enjoy it, folks. Let me tell you. That's what I would do, is get out there and enjoy it. What are we looking for tonight? Well, we set a low of 37. We are looking for that tonight. Tomorrow's supposed to be partly sunny skies, high of 66, low of 41. And Wednesday, I think Kerry must be on his way. It's supposed to be a high of 53 and a low of 26 and showers. Gracie, hey. Let's be quiet over there. All right, if Gary's in the building, that's going to be a good thing. We are going to have a minute here for a mic check and get him in his seat. So let's hear a word from our sponsors, then we'll be back. Don't you go away.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
As I was talking to the president of Clemson the other day and was asking him to come on the show the other day, he said things were fast and furious. Well, things are fast and furious here today. That's what I was going to use as a statement to intro the show here. Fast and furious. Gracie, go lay down now. All right. There you go. So, Kerry Bolt, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. We've got a, excuse me, a serious topic to talk about here. Army Sergeant Eric A. Pfeiffer, who I guess lived here for a while in Greenwood, correct?
He went most of his high school years here, and his father was an instructor of Army ROTC at Lander.
At Lander.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And he was in Iraq.
He was.
All right. You want to tell us a little bit about him and what the significance is? Of course, he did lose his life, but you're doing a display for tomorrow evening at Greenwood County.
Well, I guess how it all came to be, I was asked by Chairman of County Council, Mr. Mark Allison, if we would do something at the new library that's called the Veterans Memorial Auditorium. And we decided we would start our first display with Sergeant Eric Andrew Pfeiffer, who was killed in September 2005 in Iraq. He was on his second deployment, and this young man was a member of the 82nd Airborne, and he did extraordinary things on both of his tours, but he actually really saved his company commander's life that day.
And he also, in reading over the work here and everything, what I had as background, he knew that there might be, he might not be coming back. He said that he knew that this was going to be a bad mission that he was going on.
Yeah, everything they were actually doing there with the 82nd was really hard, and they had done countless firefights before, but in this one right here, they had actually been ambushed, and they were in a marsh, and they were actually going to the insurgent that was closest to them. And this young man, with the greatness of, you know, his family and himself, they get into a low area the commander did, and the commander was maybe 8 to 10 feet from this young man, and the young sergeant was on higher ground, and he told his commander he could best supervise and keep control of his men from the higher position. And as they swapped this young man, that's where he was killed there.
Wow.
And his commander actually had the lower portion, so he actually saved him.
You know, when you hear stories like this, it really is heart-wrenching, and it really brings it close to home, because this is, you know, we hear of people every day, and they are somebody's son or somebody's father or somebody's daughter. But when you know somebody, and there are lots of people in this area who know this, also you were telling me his dad was the ROTC at Lander for a while.
Yes, ma'am. He was an Army ROTC instructor at Lander. And really, the whole story of this young man, it's really, really, really sad, because by his father being a commissioned officer, he was actually able to enlist his son in 2001. And then 4.5 years later, he was burying his son.
That has to be one of those things that we just don't think should happen, right?
I'm telling you, it's really bad.
And you have a son over in Afghanistan, don't you?
That's correct.
And to look at this and everything, it brings it close to home, doesn't it, Kerry?
Very, it really does.
So this is what we're going to be talking about here today. Army Sergeant Eric A. Pfeiffer, who died October 7th, 2005, serving during Operation Iraqi Freedom. We wanted everybody to know about this because we would really like everybody to be there tomorrow night at County Council. Now, what time are they actually having the ceremony?
We're actually going to start at 6 o'clock. We'd asked everybody to be there probably about 30 minutes prior. That way they can meet with the family, and our display will be unveiled probably about 6:30.
Now, you've had a special cabinet and everything built, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. We have a showcase now where we can always rotate out and display and honor different veterans from our community, and it's a lockable cabinet, and the library board, they actually paid for it.
The library board.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. That is awesome. Now, is he becoming part of the Hall of Heroes?
He will be inducted this year posthumous. Yes, ma'am.
Right. So this is just to really honor him. And is his dad coming?
Oh, most definitely. Dad and mother. Yes,
ma'am. Dad and mother. Okay. Yes, ma'am. All right. Well, we're going to talk a lot more about this in just a moment when I pull the frog that's in my voice out. Kerry and I are going to be talking about this. Plus, I'm sure we'll get into some other issues. But this is Army Sergeant Eric A. Pfeiffer, who actually was at Greenwood High for a while. He did graduate from another high school, but he was there for a while. So let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
All right, we're back here, and looks like I pulled that frog out of my voice. I'm here with Kerry Bolt. He is the Veterans Affairs Officer down there at the Veterans Center at the old library. You know, someday we're going to forget that was the old library. That building just looks so good. And every time you go there, Kerry, it just keeps looking more and more awesome.
Yes, ma'am. Lots of things have been done, not only by the county itself, but also the veterans, instrumental in helping remodel.
Right. It's a totally different place inside there. From the upstairs to the downstairs, it really looks awesome. The Hall of Heroes museum that has been set up there, and the very fact that now it is a 501c, and I hope a little later we'll get an opportunity to talk about the pavers and things that are going to be able to be put out there for people to memorialize people that they love and cared about. So we're going to talk a little bit about that too. But right now we're talking about Army Sergeant Eric A. Pfeiffer. And I tell you what, you had a copy of the letter that his commanding officer wrote, correct? correct?
Yes, ma'am, yeah, I did.
And it is just phenomenal to read what he had to say about this. And, you know, I can't imagine having to write a letter about someone that was in your company and is lost.
You know, and it's one thing to be writing as a commander about somebody that's in your command, but it's another that's part of your command that was right there with you that actually
saved your life.
Saved your life. And I'm going to tell you, Lieutenant Colonel Bernard Taylor, he's going to actually read the letter from the commander. I asked him to do it for me. I can't. My son's serving, and I can't.
He just goes into so much detail, I guess, basically because he was right there.
He was, you know, 8 to 10 feet from him.
Yeah. And you just think about the number of people that we've lost and everything, and to have this, and this was Paul M. Grant, company commander, is that right?
Yes, ma'am. He was correct. Company commander.
And, I just, the words that are in this are just something very, very, very meaningful. One of the paragraphs he wrote, I wanted to write to you sooner, but the mail into and out of our zone was very unreliable. I know that there is nothing that I could say to end your pain, but I want you to know that Eric's loss is felt by every paratrooper in Charlie Company, not just his team and squad. We all sat and talked about him and the other paratrooper we lost, and we all agreed that even if he had known that the enemy would be there in the groves when we went in, given the choice, he would still have gone in with his team because they were his friends. His loss was a tremendous one to myself, and I could only hope that I had more paratroopers and leaders like Eric. May God watch over him. I mean, that's just one paragraph from a two-page typewritten letter. It is phenomenal. So,
you know, the sad part about it, again, I have to go back and say, it's, you know, to be a commissioned officer and to enlist your own son and then have to turn around and bury him about 4.5 years later.
Well, I think if I read some of the information that it said, since he was six, he wanted to be in the Army, right?
That's correct.
Eric had wanted to be in there. So I think he was sworn into the Army in the spring of 2001 by his father, Bruce Eric Pfeiffer, U.S. Army Aviation, and went to Benning, Georgia the day before his 18th birthday for training as an infantryman. Yeah, that has to be one of those things that would gnaw at you for the rest of your life.
Oh, I'm telling you, it would kill me. And it's very hard on his father. I've talked to his father at numerous times, and I really, really emphasized to his father, I didn't want his father to have to rehash this again. But again, the pride they have for their son and for their military service. And the thing is with his father, for example, his father started off as an enlisted man and worked his way into as a commissioned officer, wound up being a chopper pilot. Mm-hmm. And his father was also a winner of the Airborne Wings. And at this young man's graduation at Fort Benning from jump school, his father took his first wings and pinned on his son.
Wow.
So, I mean, it just goes on and on.
Wow. And it says that Eric's first assignment was into the 82nd Airborne Division with the 1st Brigade with the famous Devils in Baggy Pants.
Yes, ma'am. He was a rifleman.
Wow. And he went to Afghanistan from January to August of 2003 and to Iraq in 2004. And what he graduated from the Primary Leadership Development course at Fort Bragg during the summer of 2005.
Yes, ma'am.
And then they sent him back again.
That's it. And, you know, the thing is, we have so many great veterans in our county and in our country. And with this young man right here, I thought it would be best to start off with our first inductee at the library because people are not just aware. I mean, I know that we've pretty much lost the sense of now that we're not in Iraq and there's kids still in, and I say kids.
Right.
In Afghanistan, it just seems to me there's a lot of people that are very patriotic, but really, if in this day and age, if you don't have some skin in the game, people tend to forget.
I think you're right. You know, I've told you I'm from Maine originally, and growing up and during the Vietnam War and everything, I really didn't know anybody. You know, in South Carolina, it's like we all know somebody that is either has family that is living here, that they have someone serving. It's a really different culture than what it was in Maine. I guess we had people going, but we're so spread out up there. You didn't have that sense of community like we do here. And the National Guard today is such a big part of everything, too.
That's right. And that's another reason I push so hard to expand on this Veteran Center for this community, because as you learn about different people in this community, people walk by, like at the Hall of Heroes show, I tell everybody every year, you never know who you walk by.
Let's take, for example, Hilton Dodgen, who was a he was captured.
POW. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you would never know that.
That's right. I mean, these people go through life and they don't say anything, because that's just something they had to do, you know?
Exactly. And we have people coming back today that have done things that they probably won't talk about as much.
That's correct. And that's the thing with the future plans we have at the Veteran Center. That's why I want this community to be involved. It's whether you've served in a branch of service or not, it's your Veteran Center.
I agree.
And I want everybody to be involved. And if anybody out there ever wants to come to that building and tour that building, come in there. It's your building.
Absolutely. And it is phenomenal what they have done with it and the future plans. Last week at the at County Council, y'all unveiled what the Hall of Heroes with their 501c, what they're going to be able to do. They're going to be able to put big pavers out there. They're going to be able to put this big eagle out there. I mean, this is a project now that will move forward to really change the front of the building there and will be some place where people can go and reflect.
That's right. Once the community gets involved with this, and especially our veterans, that's hallowed ground now. You'll see a different sense there now, and especially next year, hopefully this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do we have? 5,167 veterans right here in Greenwood right now.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. That's just veterans that are enrolled in the VA system.
So we'd have other veterans maybe that aren't in the system.
That's correct.
Wow.
That's correct.
That's pretty phenomenal right there, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
It is. Hey, I tell you what, it is time for South Carolina News and a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Coming up on Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. It's giveaway Friday. Don't miss it. Right here on WCRS 1450 AM.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. I am Ann Eller. And we are talking, we're talking veterans today. One of my favorite topics to talk about is our veterans. And Eric A. Pfeiffer died in combat in October of 2005. He is actually going to be inducted into the Hall of Heroes posthumously. And they are having a ceremony tomorrow evening. And I know, Carrie, you would like to see a big outpouring from the community to be at County Council for this unveiling.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're, you've never been in the military. Just come show that family that, you know, there's people that want to honor this young boy who gave his life.
Absolutely. And their family is going to be here. Now, the mom and dad are going to be here, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And his dad was the ROTC for Lander, and his name is?
His name is Bruce.
Bruce.
Pfeiffer.
Pfeiffer. Okay. Yes, so this is a pretty awesome occasion and where you can really come and show your support. It's not going to be a long ceremony. It is going to be County Council, and I'm sure, having been there last week and saw how Mark Allison excused everybody, if he didn't want to stay for the meeting, he took a 5-minute recess after Jim Dominic spoke. I'm sure that they will have this ceremony, and you said it's supposed to be at 6. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. It starts at 6. When the ceremony ends,
tomorrow will give a break. Yeah.
Well, this is not actually going to be a county council meeting. This is going to be council set this in motion just to be strictly for this young man.
Wow. Okay. So this is not a county council meeting.
It
this
is not.
This is just come and be part of
a dedication.
This.
Yes, ma'am.
And of course, it'll be a dedication to this case that the library has paid for, and then there will be items and pictures of Eric in this case.
Yes, ma'am. We've got actual photos of this young man from when he was a child all the way to pictures on his last deployment.
Wow. So it is going to be a very nice thing to do. You know, when we have the Hall of Heroes, there was last year there at Lander, there was such a huge outpouring for all the veterans that were inducted into the Hall of Heroes.
Yes, ma'am. We had, what do you think, 500 or 600 people there?
Well, I'm saying the place was almost, there weren't hardly any seats available. It was packed there at Lander. And I would like to see that same type of outpouring there at the library tomorrow night in the auditorium.
If there's not enough room, we'll open doors and
make room.
That's right. I'll ensure that everybody gets to hear and be a part of it.
Now, the ceremony actually starts at 6 o'clock, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
You'd like everybody to be there a little bit early so you can start at 6.
Yes, ma'am.
And I understand there's going to be some flags, one that was flown over the Capitol.
Congressman Jeff Duncan, he sent a flag in honor of this young man that was flown at the U.S. Capitol. And then we also have a state flag that will also be presented from the Director of Veterans Affairs, Mr. Howard Metcalf.
Out over the Capitol here in Columbia.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. And those will be presented to his family.
That's correct. We also have this young man's shadow box there showing all of his awards and decorations. Young man was highly decorated, beyond Purple Heart, of course, a Bronze Star.
That's right. Bronze Star, a Purple Heart, what was it, Meritorious Service Medal.
Yes, ma'am.
Good Conduct Medal, Combat Infantry Badge, Airborne Badge, as well as other awards and decorations. He had a bright career in the military, didn't he?
This young man, if he had lived, would have went far. Yes, ma'am, he would.
And I know the family would very much appreciate it if you would come out there and support this. It would be something that would mean a lot.
Yes, ma'am. And see, we'll also be changing this out. We haven't decided where we're going to do this, semi-annual or quarterly, or what we're going to do yet, because it's really new.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Mark Allison, he came to me and he says, look, you know, again, this is a Veterans Memorial Auditorium. We need to see veteran things here. And it's not like I don't have enough things in my world to do. But we honor veterans once a year with our Hall of Heroes program.
Yes.
And the thing is, I can't get to everybody every year. So this is a way we can show support for like this young man, or like if we had somebody who was sick. I've went to people's bedsides with their families, and you know, you wouldn't believe how it actually rejuvenates these older veterans.
Well, you know, you and I have talked about taking a group of veterans down to Columbia, and how when you put them in the van, all of a sudden they're sitting up straighter, not standing up, but they're sitting up straighter, and they're acting like young guys again.
I tell you, I in 2005 or 6, I took 7 with me to Columbia,
mm-hmm.
and they saw some of our senators and some of our delegates, and then from there we took them into the House, and they read a little narrative I did on each one, and they go from being humped over older men to standing totally at attention, and they go back to being 17, 18, 19 years old, and by the time it's time to leave, I got to fight them to get back in the van. And then they're wild on me, you know. But I think it's great. I've taken some to military installations. I had one who was a member of the 1st Armored Division. And he was a highly decorated tanker. And he's talking about, I'll just get out and look. By the time I get him out, the next thing I know, he's out there with a bunch of young guys. And the next thing I know, they got him in a tank. Next thing I know, he's riding around at 40, 50 mile an hour. And so that's just what they do.
Well, that's kind of like I went on the honor flight for our World War II veterans last year. And, you know, they were all telling me, hey, radio lady, I've got a story for you. And they were just so animated and so alive. And the camaraderie, and met a couple of guys that hadn't seen each other since they graduated from high school before they went into World War II.
Listen, I'm telling you, I live that dream every day with them. When you're not in my office doing business, they walk into our temporary hall of heroes, and I just leave them alone. They do their thing, and they get in, and they talk stories, and it's just not older guys. It's older guys with younger guys, because right next door in our building we have the Lander Army ROTC, and it's just they click. They work well with each other. It's the old with the young.
Well, you know, there is a common thread. It's service to our country.
That's correct.
And, you know, I think when our young guys go into, whether it's ROTC or into the Army or the Navy or any of the service, that is a special breed of person that wants to serve our country and wants to protect what is part of our country.
And I agree. And like right now, you know, you look at the statistics of World War II, how many people served versus how many people have served in this period of Iraq and Afghanistan. And it's amazing. I asked some people, you know, how come you're not in? Well, you know, once they're at the beach, I'm thinking, well, good God, it's too late then, you know. But, you know, I don't know. So it's my job to ensure that all those who have served and continue to serve, that's my job, is to ensure they get what they need.
Absolutely. And you do a phenomenal job over there, Kerry, day in and day out. You know, one of the things that you have told me is that if somebody has been turned down, maybe they turned their paperwork in on their own to get some disability or get some benefits, that you would like to be able to review it and see if there's not a way to get them the benefits that they should be getting.
That's right. If there's a problem, bring it to me. I'll review it, and I'll let you know what you need to do or what you can't do. But, I mean, we tell you by the regulations, not by off-the-hip answers.
Right.
God, I said that real nice, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I'm impressed. But, yes, I mean, sometimes I think as a Veterans Affairs officer, some people have thought that you were actually on the government side here, and you're really not. You're on the veterans side trying to, because you know how to work the angles.
I know the real deal. I know what they're looking for. I know what the veteran needs to do. And, yes, I represent the veteran.
That's right.
You know, because I have to look at it this way. I represent the people of this county and Lawrence County that are veterans and their dependents. And, you know, sooner or later, I'm not going to be the VA officer.
You're going to be looking for some benefits,
aren't
you?
That's right. I'm going to be on the other side of that desk. So, yeah, I'd want somebody to do me right, too.
Well, Kerry, you've done a phenomenal job. Now, I know you've had a lot of help. You've got veterans groups there working and doing all different projects. I mean, the other night, right before Valentine's Day, I think we were down there at the, it was before Valentine's Day, at the Women's Auxiliary for Foreign Wars, and they had a little Valentine's deal, and it was just really, really nice to see all the camaraderie that's going on.
You know, all those folks have a permanent place to be now. They know they're not going to move unless the building falls in a hole.
Right.
It's their place.
And they're showing that type of pride.
That's right. And the thing is, you just don't have one organization there. You have multiple organizations, DAV, Purple Heart, VFW, Ladies Auxiliary Programs. I mean, all kind of different things, and it's all military-related, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard.
That's right. So if you haven't been there and you are a veteran or you just have an interest in this, you should go down and check it out. It is a phenomenal place, and you just wouldn't even recognize that it had been the library. I mean, I got to tell you, it just doesn't look anything like the library look now.
No, definitely not. And how about that museum now?
How about the museum?
It's great.
Is doing great. Carol Scales and the group over there certainly have worked hard. They've got regular hours now, and they are still looking for stuff. So if you have any stuff that maybe you've been keeping up in the attic and you said you'd hold on to it. Maybe it's time to move. Maybe you just would like it to be where it could be remembered forever. They would love to have it down there at the Hall of Heroes Museum. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
We are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking about, it's a Veterans Day here, folks. It's February 24th, and we're calling it a special Veterans Day. Tomorrow afternoon, well, actually at 6 o'clock at the library, at the, what is that called? The Veterans
Memorial Auditorium. Yes, ma'am.
Where the council meets and lots of people meet. In fact, they're having a movie there tonight. So if you'd like to go, 6 o'clock. What is it? Lackawanna? That's the movie tonight.
Really?
Really. That's the movie. It's okay. At 6 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, though, they will be having a ceremony there for Eric A. Pfeiffer. And, you know, I just, the very last message that he wrote to his family and friends, he wrote, "Family, friends, I love you all." That was the last message sent by him. And he was 22 of the 82nd Airborne. And he sent that to everyone on his email list. I just think he must have had some premonition because they said he was always joking around and just just a regular guy or something.
Yes, ma'am.
And at this point, he just put this, "I love you all." And that was it. That's pretty, you know, I think sometimes you just know that I can't imagine being in that situation, but to have just maybe a little bit of premonition, that's really, really makes it hit home, doesn't it?
No words.
Yep. And 4 days later, he was fatally wounded in a firefight when he dismounted patrol was attacked with small arms fire in Iraq. And his parents, Bruce Eric Pfeiffer of 96 and Nancy Mellon of Knoxville, said he was shot in the chest. And another soldier was killed in the firefight also. Both were with the 82nd Airborne Division 3rd Battalion, 504 Parachute Infantry Regiment. And whether he had a premonition or not, he told one of his friends right before he left that he was afraid this one would not end well and that he knew he was going somewhere really dangerous.
Well, all I can say is he was in some place really dangerous from the day he got there.
Yeah, and we forget about that, don't we?
That's right.
Because we're not affected by it every day. Now the families and the all that, they are affected by it, and they have to go on living. That's the other thing about it, isn't it, Carrie? The families that their loved one is over there in harm's way, they have to function. They have to keep going.
That's right, and it's hard. And I tell you, I just can't bring enough attention about these young men and women. I mean, we talk about our older veterans, and I will continue to, but I'm saying I want people to know that, you know, we're still at war. I know it's a surprise to a lot of people, but your country's still at war.
How does it make you feel every day when you think about your son over there?
Do you really want me to answer that?
A short answer.
You've been
in combat.
I support my son, and I support all the men and women that serve with him, and I admire all of them. But I think a lot more people in this country need to pay more attention to what's going on in the world. You know, I go back to Kennedy's little saying, you know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. What you can do, ask what you can do for your country.
That's correct. I think people really need to really look at that a little bit. It'll really bring us back to maybe where we need to go back to.
Well, you know, and that brings up another question. Should we have some type of service, whether it be the Army or the military or whether it's the Peace Corps or some group, some type of service? You know, when we grew up and the draft was there, all young men went into this.
You know, I can say that I thought it was an honor to serve. I thought it was the right thing to do. And all these young men and women that do it now, they think the same thing. we just need to go back to the old ways. I remember things that my grandparents told me, and it's just all flip-flopped. And I think we really need to start paying attention to how it used to be. And as far as military service, or some type of service,
right.
People need to understand that there's people throughout this world that hate this country.
Yeah.
And hate everything about us. And, you know, you can sing Kumbaya and play the guitar, but that don't really help you too much when they're throwing hot lead at you.
I can't remember who I was talking to the other day, but they were talking about Israel and how excited the young people were to be going in to do service for, you know, they have to go in the military or serve some type of service. And they were honored, and all of them, and I don't remember where I heard this conversation, but it was a conversation I heard just the other day, and I started thinking about it, and I was like, yes, that is what we should be, because it brings it home as to why we are as fortunate to live, whether it's in Israel or to live in here in this United States.
They believe in their history, and they believe in their future, and I think a lot of people in this country have gotten away from that. And look how what we don't teach in schools anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at how much history we don't teach.
And civics.
Oh, my
understanding
Lord.
How our government is supposed to work is a big one for me.
I look at this young boy on Bill O'Reilly, mm-hmm. Waters World,
yes.
and some of the gimmicks he comes up with, and people are just oblivious to their
yes.
country and how it's ran and who's in office.
Exactly, and that is a shame. Because
it's wrong.
And it's the first step towards,
I don't know.
Are
people have fought and died to give you that right to vote, but yet you have no clue.
And to be able to be on the radio like this, to be able to say what we want to say. It's like them talking about they're going to have people monitoring the news, yeah. The reports, to see what goes out. I told people, Carrie, the other day, when they're here at WCRS, the end is near.
I'm telling you, it's like the man used to say on that other radio station, wake up, America.
Wake up, America. And I think there are a group of people that are awake, but we have equally as, or maybe larger, a group of people that are not awake as to the things that are important. I mean, here we were. We just came through the Olympics. And I'm sorry, but I feel very badly that our president did not go over there and support our Olympians that were there.
Well, all I can say is we're downsizing our military day by day. Well, you can't make an army in 5 minutes. So.
No, and the latest things that are coming out from the Pentagon about downsizing and even taking away some of our aren't they talking about taking away some of our veterans' benefits or something?
It's every day. It's unbelievable. And all I can say is, folks, get involved.
That's right.
The TV.
That's right. And visit your Veterans Center. I mean, we already have, in my opinion, but when this thing is finished, we are going to have the most awesome Veterans Center in the state of South Carolina, I do believe, Carrie Bolt.
It will be an eyepiece.
That's right. So real quick, we can mention this real quick on the air. This is tomorrow night for Eric A. Pfeiffer. I would like to see a lot of you there tomorrow evening. It's only going to be a short ceremony, 6:30.
Yes, ma'am.
Be there before 6 at the library, at the auditorium there. Please be there to honor and to show his parents the support of our community for their son's loss.
Please. The new library.
That's yes, right. Ma'am. Be there, because that's where this will be going on. They're going to have a cabinet they're going to open up. How did you find out about Eric Pfeiffer? I mean, what was it that brought Eric Pfeiffer to the fold here?
Just talking to folks in the Officers Association, and one of them mentioned to me that, did you know that Captain Pfeiffer retired, had lost his son in Iraq? And before that, his father brought in a large piece of art to donate. Mm-hmm. And that's what got the whole thing going. And that's what made me decide to honor this young man and bring maybe some awareness to what's going on currently.
That's right. Because we talk a lot about our senior veterans, making sure that they get their benefits, but what about all the men and women that are serving over there right now? We need to remember them and keep them in our prayers. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Carrie Bolt, it is always an honor to have you on my show, and I really appreciate all the things you do for our community. Where it comes to veterans, you are on it.
Well, thank you, ma'am, and I couldn't have done it without this great radio station. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Carrie Bolt. Hey, be there tomorrow evening for Eric A. Pfeiffer. It would be an honor and a privilege to be able to be there. You won't regret being there. Please be there from 6 to 6:30. Please get there a little bit early so that we can start the ceremony promptly at 6. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.